Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Ah, summer's over. Summer's over and we're back.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Where feels did it go?
It feels like a Monday, but it's not a Monday. It's a Tuesday, and that's a good thing because we need an open forum today. Open forum, any question you have on the life, the faith, the history of the church. And our guest, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. Hi, Tim.
Hey, my friend. It is good to be with you.
Well, thank you. Are you sad that summer is over? It doesn't feel like
I am. It's technically not over till September 21st, but I know what you mean. The kids are back at school. Yeah. And
American summer is over.
It is, and it's crazy because you know what that means? It's Christmas!
It doesn't actually mean that,
it does feel like that, huh?
Oh, really? Are you ready for Christmas already?
Well, it's just that I've got seven kids, and we have a lot. It's a lot of preparation. We start getting Christmas presents in July, you know, and
yeah,
things tend to creep up on you, you know. And let's face it, I am a Christian fanatic. I love Christmas.
You're both.
I'm a Christian fanatic, yes, and I'm also a Christmas fanatic. We go crazy. We are the what was the family from Christmas Vacation?
Griswolds.
We're the Griswolds in our neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, we are one giant Christmas light.
And what does the baby Jesus do in your house? Is the baby Jesus not in the manger until Christmas?
Correct.
Oh, really?
We have about, now my wife may correct me, we have about 11 manger scenes in the house.
What?
One outside and a bunch, 10 inside. And so on Christmas Eve, what we do, the first package we open is the package of all the baby Jesuses. And so the kids get to run around the house and put baby Jesus in all the cribs.
See, now
it's really cool.
It is really cool. In our house, baby Jesus is there before Christmas. I know that seems un-Catholic.
So you're a heathen.
I'm a heathen. But the thing is, that helps us prepare by seeing. No, that's not really the reason. It's because I'm convinced I will lose baby Jesus if we don't put him where we can see him.
Wrap him in a present and put it under the tree.
You know what? I wish I had consulted with you earlier. Now that they're all grown up, I have a method.
Yes.
Your book, Behold Your Mother, Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Everybody should get it. It's out in paperback.
Hey,
now.
I have the paperback
look
version.
Look at that.
Isn't this nice?
Very, very nice.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's a little bit larger than our other paperbacks, too. It's a little bit larger this way.
Well, you're the director of apologetics and evangelization.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, they're like, he's got to have something a little bit bigger than the others.
Right.
888-318-7884, our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Catholic Answers open forum today. Any question that you have on Catholic Church, Catholic life, Catholic history, Catholic tradition, why you believe what we do, why we do what we do, we welcome those questions. 888-318-7884. The lines fill up. They're almost full right now, Tim, and we've been doing this just for a few minutes. I'm hoping they don't want to talk about Christmas, but shall we go to calls?
Let's do it.
All right. Liz in North Carolina watching on YouTube. Hi to everybody watching on YouTube or elsewhere on the internet. Liz, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question.
Hi. Thanks so much. I am calling. My husband and I are actually starting RCIA tomorrow. We're really excited about it, and a large part of that is due to this program. So thanks so much.
But, no, thank you. Thanks for sharing with us. That's beautiful news.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. We're really looking forward to it. My question is concerning sharing with both of our Protestant families kind of this process that we're about to start. And one piece of feedback, I guess, that I received from my mother-in-law was that she feels like Catholicism makes it difficult to find God. Her wording was that she feels like it's jumping through hoops to access God. So I guess my question is, how can I explain with grace that that is not how it is without really being super knowledgeable yet? All about Catholicism, since I haven't gone through that process yet.
Oh, yeah, Liz, it's a great question. Having been raised Protestant myself, I can really empathize with that situation, because that's exactly what I believed. When you're raised with a false gospel, which is in essence what Protestantism has been proclaiming for 500 years, is a false gospel in this sense. This gospel that says that we don't have to do anything in order to get to heaven, right? We don't have to do anything, you know, and then there's that sort of all we have to do is accept Jesus, right? We don't have to do anything. All but we have to do is accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Of course, there's an inherent contradiction there. But, you know, the point that I like to make to folks when they say that is, what if Jesus Christ himself said, all right, you complain that we Catholics say you have to jump through hoops. Well, what if Jesus Christ came down to this earth and said, you have to jump through hoops in order to get to heaven? Wouldn't you jump through hoops, right? I mean, it's a way, rhetorically, you know, to get folks thinking. And then, you know, you can present scriptures like for example, John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we can say, look, Jesus tells us there's something we have to do. Believe. And do you believe? Now, if somebody's a strict Lutheran that adheres to Luther's idea that faith is something that we don't do, this is something that's merely passively received, well, then we'll have to deal with that. But most Protestants today will acknowledge, unless they're hardcore monergism, you know, Calvinists, that say it's God acting through us. And so, well, then that's a whole nother question. You know, then you have to talk about the fact is we do have to believe. I mean, Jesus in many, many places, Liz, tells us, and one of my favorites is John chapter 10, verse 30 through 35, where Jesus, you know, declares himself to be God. He says, I and the Father are one, in John chapter 10, verse 30. And, of course, in verse 31, they pick up rocks to kill him, which is kind of predictable. You call yourself God in ancient Israel, they're going to pick up rocks, and they did. But Jesus, if you skip down a few verses there, 34, 35, you see, Jesus says this. He says, if you can't believe my words, believe for the work's sake. So Jesus knew they were going to struggle with this idea of him being God, right? But he's saying that belief is something you have to do. Look, if you can't believe my words, believe for the sake of the works. Do you get that, Liz, how Jesus says to us, belief is not just something we receive, it's also something we have to do. We acknowledge Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that of your not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The initial grace of salvation that Paul's talking about there, faith itself, is a gift. We can't work our way to the gift of faith. We can't. It is a gift. But once we receive the gift, we have to act on it. We have to believe. And that's what Jesus is saying there. So, Liz, what I try to do is show them, look, Jesus tells us in John 3:16 that we have to believe. It's not just a pure passively received gift, but it's something we have to do. And then you show them Revelation 2:10. Not only do we have to believe, that is, have faith, but Revelation 2:10, Jesus says, if we are faithful unto death, he will give us the crown of life. Notice that. He says, be faithful. In other words, faith is not something you just receive, not something just that you do, but you have to be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, Liz, this is what I do. I show folks that belief, faith is a gift. It's also something we have to do, and it's something we have to continue to do. We have to be faithful unto death. And then you show them verses like Matthew 10:22. Jesus says, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures until the end shall be saved. You show them Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. There are so many clear verses like that to tell us, guess what? Yeah, we got to jump through a few hoops. But once you see it, at least for me, Liz, when I started as a Protestant to see, look, this isn't jumping through hoops. This isn't, you know, the negative connotation that I was raised with. If you have to do anything, oh, that's denying Jesus. It's Jesus that tells me I have to be baptized. I have to be faithful. I have to endure till the end and so forth. And then you can just, you know, look, Go to Catholic.com, check out. We've got, in fact, I have a blog post that I did at Catholic.com. I'd encourage you to check it out, Liz. And it's how works work, right? It's all about getting to work for our salvation once we enter into Jesus Christ. John 6:53, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. John 20:21-23, confessing our sins, you know, and I go through a litany of verses, and I'll leave you with this one, Liz. In 1 John 1:7-9, St. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and that's referring to fellowship us with God. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we are a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Notice here, Liz, this is what you want to point out. This is a relationship with Jesus that brings about not just blessings or crowns or things. No, the forgiveness of sins, the healing of sin, our growth in righteousness, and ultimately, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Anyway, Liz, I know I gave you a whole lot there, but check out Catholic.com. As I said, how works work. We've got lots of different articles there at our website. You can do a search, and I'll guarantee you, works, faith, salvation, we've got a ton for you. But does that help at all, Liz?
Yeah, absolutely. And I see these hoops as a gift. You know, I see
yes.
it as a joy. I just don't know how to explain it to others, so that's really helpful, and I appreciate
exactly.
it. And hopefully I'll be back asking more questions after RCIA.
All right, Liz.
Well, call while you're still in the RCIA. We'd love to hear an update on
yeah.
how you're doing and any
yeah.
questions that come up. Liz, thanks so much for that call. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. Our guest today, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, Tim Staples. We'll be right back after this.
Don't you just love listening to Tim Staples? Did you know you can book Tim or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In Luke 4:31, when a man with an unclean spirit approached Jesus in the synagogue, he rebuked the spirit, which then left the man. The people were amazed. What is there about his words? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. News about him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. We live in a culture that distrusts authority, while at the same time admires that which is authoritative. Actually, to speak with authority is to speak with fidelity to the author, that is, the one the speaker represents. In the case of our Lord, he was representing the Father, who is the author of all and from whom all lawful authority comes. Obedience comes from the Latin ab audire, to hear. It remains for us to obey lawful authority, because in doing so, we are allowing ourselves to hear the author, the Lord God himself. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host here with Tim Staples. Tim's taking your questions today on anything you got about us Catholics. We're happy to. If it's a challenge, we'll try to face up to that challenge. If it's a question about belief, a practice, anything, we're happy to take them. 888-318-7884. You do not have to be Catholic to call. 888 318-7884. We go now to Joel in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Joel, you're on with Tim Staples. What's your question? Hi, Joel. Oh, hey, Joel, wait, hang on 1 second. They have a new rule that I have to push the correct button. They don't pick it. Sorry, Joel. Apparently, that's how electronics work. If you don't press the right button, you don't get the right guy. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what's your question for Tim?
Welcome, Joel.
Okay. That's when my dogs are barking, too.
Perfect timing.
It sounds like your dog has a question.
Yeah, right. Do dogs go to heaven?
Yes. Okay, the question is, can you explain to me what the story of Lot and his daughters is about?
Oh, boy. Yes. Well, you know, there are a lot of stories, Joel, like that are disturbing to us, given the fact that we've experienced 2,000 years of the fullness of revelation that Jesus Christ and the apostles have given to us. But remember this. Yeah, the story of Lot when he's visited by angels, for those of you who don't know what our caller is talking about, and he has these angels basically at his house, and this was a time in Sodom and Gomorrah where, and I do think one of the messages here, and one of the blessings why we have that story in the Bible of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah is to show us how absolutely and utterly depraved cultures can become.
Yeah.
You know, it's a somber sort of wake-up call for all of us. And folks, we're headed in that direction in our culture. We're not there, but we are headed there. The level of depravity we're experiencing now is in many ways even eclipses Sodom and Gomorrah when you talk about slaughtering 55 million babies in the womb, something they could not even imagine doing back then. But in other ways, of course, they eclipse us. But that's one of the blessings of that story, is to show us how depraved a culture can reach, right? But we also have to understand this, Joel. A lot of folks look at stories like that and say, oh, well, the Bible can't be inspired, because how could you have a story here? You know, Lot's in his house and the people are trying to get in to basically rape the angels with whom he's having a meal. And he sends his daughters out there. And look, I'll give you my daughters. Do what you will with them. Leave my guests alone. And that seems so absolutely outrageous to us. But again, this is a culture. And this is one of the beautiful things of the Old Testament. The Old Testament doesn't whitewash, you know, the reality of how depraved the culture did in fact get. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. But you look at the book of Judges and you see how depraved the Jewish people got during the time of the Judges. You know, the story of Jephthah and his daughter and so forth. I mean, they're horrible, horrible stories. And this, again, I think the most important lesson we can take away is this is how depraved we can become apart from God's law and God's grace. But please, Joel, remember that this is in no way, because you have a story like this and so many others in the Old Testament, this is not the Bible saying this is okay. And there's nothing in that story that says, oh, good, yes, give your daughters to be, you know, abused by men. That's not the point at all. The point is, this was such a depraved culture. He was in such a terrible position. This is what happened, right? And by God's grace, my friend Joel, God works through these, the most horrible situations, and he brings good out of them. And that would be ultimately, Joel, sort of culminated, right, in the cross. Because, you know, when people complain to me about, oh, how could you have the Old Testament and depraved stories like this? There is no more depraved story than we killed God.
Right.
Right. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to this earth and gave and loved and taught perfectly. And what did we do to him? It's our sins that did it. But we beat him, spat upon him, and put him on the cross. Look, everything that happened in the Old Testament, Joel, pales in comparison to that. And yet God says, I am going to bring the ultimate good out of that. And remember, the crucifixion of our Lord is not good. It's evil. It's the greatest evil that could ever occur. You can't get worse than deicide. But God, because of his omnipotence, says, I will bring the greatest good out of that greatest evil. And that's the same thing that happens in the Old Testament to a lesser degree. Does that make sense, Joel?
Well, thank you so very, very much. I mean, you've actually put at peace my mind, heart, and soul.
All right. I appreciate that, Joel. God bless you.
Thanks very much. I'll push the right button next time, Joel. Why do you think it is, Tim, or what does the church say is the reason that we become depraved apart from God?
Yeah. Well, I think St. Augustine said it best, right? Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our hearts will remain restless until they rest in thee. We are made as creatures. Adam and Eve, they had mortal natures just like you and I, but it was sanctifying grace and the preternatural gifts that made them immortal. But they needed that grace in order to remain in that relationship with God. When they lost that through their disobedience, they lost that sanctifying grace. Hence, corruption sets in. It's because of the fact that we are made for God. When we turn away from him, we become less than we are, right? Yeah. We become, think about it, sin, you know, Shakespeare, God bless him, right? To err is human. Well, really, it's not. To err is really inhuman. But of course, in our fallen state, you know, we're going to sin. But ultimately, that's the reason. The reason why we can descend to such depths is because we're made for such greatness that when we turn away, we can, in fact, fall to such depths. And we absolutely need 24/7, my friends, the grace of God in order for us to be what God has called us to be.
Good news is he gives it.
Amen.
Really, really, all you have to do is accept it. Colden in Glovertown, Newfoundland, watching on YouTube, another YouTube guest. Colden, happy to have you. Your question for Tim Staples.
Yeah, how's it going? My question, I'm actually a recent convert. I just got confirmed there last Sunday.
Well,
oh, congratulations.
Wonderful.
Thank you. I was super excited. I'm super pleased that I'm welcome into the church.
Praise God. What were you before?
I was baptized United, and I...
United what? Was it United Church of Christ or United...
Manchester United?
Yeah, United Church, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And, I was baptized as a baby, and then we left my parents and my sibling. We left that church, and we went to the Salvation Army.
Oh, wow.
And we were... Yeah, so I was at Salvation Army Church for 8 or 9 years, and then when I left, I met my wife a few years later, and she was Roman Catholic.
Okay.
So I decided to we actually visited her grandmother, and she was Roman Catholic, and unfortunately she had Alzheimer's, and she walked out of the room one time, and she had these beads in her hand, and I looked at the beads, I'm like, whoa, what's that? And she explained it to me.
Yes.
And these were the rosary.
Okay.
And even though she had Alzheimer's, she taught me how to pray the rosary. And she told me about the mysteries. And I just got overwhelmed. And
wow.
I'm sorry. But, yeah. So
beautiful. And so here you are, a Catholic.
Here I am, a Catholic. Now, unfortunately.
Well, listen, yeah, how can we help you?
When I got confirmed,
yes,
one of my friends asked me what the Catholic view or belief was on what happens to us when we die,
yes,
and when we are in good standing with God. So we're just looking for that.
Oh,
that
sure.
There. Yeah.
Yes. It's a great question. Yeah. If we die in a state of grace. Now, for most of us, we will probably have some venial sins or some punishment still due for sins when we die. But you know what we're going to have to do is talk about that after the break, because I hear the
practice
music.
For purgatory for you. You're going to have to wait, and then the blessing comes after. Hang on just a quick sec. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live with Tim Staples right after this.
new from EWTN Publishing, The Four Last Things. Father Wade Menezes presents the truths of salvation. This guide will help you become eternity-minded in your daily life by demonstrating the reality of hell, dispelling sentimental notions about heaven, and bringing to light key truths you need to know about death and judgment. The Four Last Things, new from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a truly unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. In Scripture, Jesus answered his critics again and again by using their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, best-selling author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. From the Pharisees to the Nazis, from the Crusades to the Reformation, he presents a parade of skeptics, heretics, pagan powers, and rival sects, each taking a turn in the witness's chair and giving an unexpected but compelling account in favor of Christ. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000, or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples taking your questions on any aspect. I said every aspect, but we can't cover every aspect in 2 hours. But we've got Tim for 2 hours. So any aspect of the life or the faith of the Catholic Church that's on your mind, whether you're Catholic or not Catholic, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. We were speaking with Colden in Newfoundland.
And Colden, are you still there? Do we still have Colden? Hello,
yeah,
Colden.
We're still here.
Okay, okay. You know, you ask a great question because often, a while back, I was reading a book by Cardinal Ratzinger called Eschatology. I was actually preparing a CD set, and I'm now writing a book on it, Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell. And in that book, then Cardinal Ratzinger, now Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, makes the point that one of the grave mistakes people make about the afterlife, and you see this especially with some of the quasi-Christian sects or the cults, as many call them, Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, or you also have Islam, that presents heaven as just kind of an extension of this world, right? The Jehovah's Witnesses, it's picking fruit for all eternity, right? And having an eternal picnic, you know, or with the Muslims, of course, it's the fulfillment of carnal desires. And Cardinal Ratzinger, you know, uses words to the effect of that's extremely dangerous. It's a very, very bad. George W. Bush or H.W. Bush would say bad,
not bad.
Because we have to remember, most of the world lives in misery in this life. You know, most of the world is poor. Most world and to present heaven as just an extension of this world is a terrible thing. I mean, it's boring. It sounds like I'm sorry. I'd get boring picking fruit for all eternity. I'm sorry, right? But actually, Colden, what heaven is, St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, heaven, I like the way 1 John 3:1-2, St. John says, brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. You know, both John and St. Paul say, we don't really know, because it's so far beyond anything we can fathom, but we know we'll be like him. We have other little clues about what heaven will be. In Revelation 22:4, 1 Corinthians 13:12, it talks about how we will see him face to face, right? or Matthew 5:8 in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. What does that mean? We will see God. Well, Calden, this is the core of what heaven is. We will possess God in the beatific vision. You know, the church uses that language of we possess God. And what does that mean in the beatific vision? Does it mean when we get to heaven, we're going to say, hey, look, I see God? No. You don't see God with your eyeballs, right? 1 Timothy 6:16 says he dwelleth in light unapproachable. If you can't even approach the light he dwells in, how much less can you approach him, right? So, you know, he's so far beyond us. No, we will never be able to see him with our eyeballs, but we will be able to comprehend him with our intellects to the degree. Now, we can't comprehend him infinitely because you'd have to be God to comprehend God infinitely. That's why Scripture talks about no one knows the Son except the Father and the Father except the Son, Jesus tells us. But we will participate in that divine knowledge, even that the persons of the Blessed Trinity have of each other, to the degree of merit we have at the time of death and the gift of grace that we have, we will comprehend God. And so, you know, if you think about this, Calden, we will possess God in such a way we will see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, comprehend them. And in them, in God, we will comprehend the entire created order like it's a piece of cake. We'll make Albert Einstein look like a fool, right? By the way, Calden, I like to share that with my kids, you know, that you won't have to struggle to learn your schoolwork. You will know, right? You'll know it all. And we'll also, Calden, even though we don't, you know, it's so far beyond anything we can fathom. We can't comprehend what heaven will be. We do get these revelations of what heaven will be like, and knowing God, knowing the entire created order, and having certain gifts. You know, the Catechism of the Council of Trent, quoting Thomas Aquinas, talks about how we will have these certain gifts that we know of, immortality, right? Impassibility, meaning we won't be able to suffer. Imagine that, Calden. You couldn't stub your toe if you tried in heaven, right? You can't experience pain or discomfort. You will experience joy beyond anything we can imagine, right? You'll also have the gifts of subtlety and agility. Now, what is that, Calden? Subtlety and agility. Agility means we'll travel at the speed of thought, right? You want to be at Alpha Centauri, bam, you're there, right? And subtility means like Christ passed through the doors of the upper room into the presence of the apostles, even though he had a physical body, we too will have those characteristics, right? And then, of course, we'll have glory, the gift of glory. I think it's Matthew 13, right around verse 43, if I'm not mistaken, Calden, that says, the righteous shall shine like the sun. Calden, when Jesus reveals, part of what happens on the Mount of Transfiguration is Christ is revealing his divinity, his true nature, but he's also showing us what awaits us. We will shine like the sun. So, Calden, heaven is beyond anything we can fathom, but what we do get, the bits and pieces of knowledge we have of what heaven will be, are mind-blowing, right? So we've got to keep our end of the bargain here, believing in Jesus, being obedient until death, and if we are, what awaits us is truly awesome. Does that get at your question, Calden?
Yep. I'd actually exceeds it, but my
just like heaven does for your expectations.
Yes. That's yeah, right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, but what will our bodies become? Like, will our physical body or our soul go to heaven? And then when Jesus comes for his church, will we ascend then?
Sure. Well, think about it. The only persons in heaven right now that have their bodies, of course, are Jesus, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, incarnate, he has his body, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. The rest of the saints in heaven right now are disembodied spirits. So it won't be until the resurrection at the end of time that the bodies of those, the saints in heaven, as well as, you know, those in purgatory and such, will be rejoined to their physical bodies. So right now, the saints in heaven are disembodied spirits. You know, people often ask Calden, well, how does that happen? What about people that are in the purgatory at that time? Will they be? Well, you know, God can, I like to put it this way, he'll turn up the heat and purify
bring
him.
It to a boil a little quicker.
That's right, because he can, you know, we think of purgatory as time, but we can also change the intensity there. You know, it's a state. It's basically they're moving from imperfection to perfection, and God can do that in many different ways. And so our bodies, and that's what I'm talking about, Calden. When I talk about the beatific vision, of course, the beatific vision is something that is passively received in the soul, right? It's not something that you can, with your, as I said, I see God. You can't abstract the form of God like we do with created things, because there's no form to abstract. He's infinite being. So we're talking about a gift that's passively received in the soul. But Calden, our bodies are going to receive all these gifts, right? So that we can pass through walls, travel at the speed of thought, can't die, can't suffer, can't even experience any pain. That's all going on in our bodies, Calden. Our bodies will experience a glory. You know, Scripture talks about our resurrected bodies are going to be so much more glorious than our bodies now. It's like comparing a seed to a full-grown plant. So hopefully that'll help you a bit there, Calden.
Calden, thanks very, very much. And congratulations on your recent confirmation. 888-318-7884 is our number. It is open forum today with Tim Staples. Tim, what about somebody like you? When you think of a great mystic like John of the Cross or Teresa of Avila, what they see in their soul is closer than what I see, I assume, to the beatific vision. But they can't fully, even great saints like that.
Not this side of heaven.
No, you got to.
That's right. Even St. Thomas, you know, and those who had such, you know, he had such a mystical encounter with our Lord at the end of his life. He went into an ecstasy and he said that all his works were just so much chaff. You know, they just burned up. It was nothing compared to what he saw. But what he saw was not the beatific vision. He got infused knowledge, most likely, an infused gift, an incredible encounter with the Lord, but it's not even close
to
the beatific vision. Because once you attain the beatific vision, you're in heaven. And there's...
You can't get out then.
Yeah, right? That's right. And you don't want to.
Right. Why would you come back? Yeah. That's pretty much the end of your work life then.
Yes.
Again, 888-318-7884, our number. It's perfect time to take a break. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Call and ask Tim your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Behold Your Mother, a Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines by apologist and speaker Tim Staples is an apologetics tour de force, which delves deeper than ever before into the Catholic Church's teaching on our Blessed Mother, from her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her Assumption into Heaven to her role as co-redemptrix. Tim gives you the facts and backs them up with solid biblical evidence in the way only Tim Staples can do. Call 1-888-291-8000, log on to Catholic.com, or visit a good Catholic bookstore in your area and get your copy of Behold Your Mother today. Now available in paperback and as an ebook. Get your copy today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. And at $3 a copy when purchased in bulk, it's perfect for parish distribution and any of your adult faith formation needs. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Open forum here with Tim Staples today. I want to take just a quick moment to remind you, those of you who have the opportunity, would you join us for our big, giant, huge national conference coming up in just days now.
Oh, my goodness.
September 28th through 30th right here at the Hyatt Regency La Jolla in beautiful and sunny San Diego.
Amen.
Tim will be there. You're going to be speaking on what we can learn from our Protestant brothers and sisters.
Amen. And look at the speakers. I mean, other than Tim Staples, these are fantastic. We've got Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, Devin Rose, Steve Weidenkopf, brilliant guy, Mark Brumley, president of Ignatius Press, and kind of recently, now it's not so recently, we got Chris Bloom, an intellectual giant, who's joining the lineup as our keynote speaker at our banquet dinner. I mean, we've never had this many speakers and such an incredible conference. This is September 28th through 30th. And to have it at the Hyatt Regency side in La Jolla, this is gorgeous. And look at these perks.
I know, especially if you're local and you go, it's $8 a day to park after the last few years.
It's been much more in the past.
Right. And we have the banquet, if you buy the full conference ticket at the banquet, and that's where Christopher Bloom is going to give his address.
Yep.
And now they're saying if you can get five people to go with you,
yep,
then you get to go for free.
It's incredible. Incredible. This is going to be, I am going to prophesy, my friend.
Here it comes.
I am neither the prophet, a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I'm going to prophesy. This is going to be our best conference ever. And
well, as it should be, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but as it should be, it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and that's the primary thing that this apostolate is about addressing.
Yep. And you didn't read this part. On our little thingamajobber here. If you recruit five people, you get your sixth ticket for free, and you're going to get the early bird price for all of the tickets.
I got to learn to read.
What are we doing? Are we just giving this stuff away?
I know. Now we're going to.
Are we crazy?
I've heard that cookies are coming with it, too. conference@catholic.com. Is where you go, conference@catholic.com. You can go on, that's where you send the email for more information. You can go online to CatholicAnswersConference.com. We're going to do the show live from there, too.
Oh, yes, the show live, and I can't wait to meet y'all. Best part of the conference is getting to meet the folks. You can sit down. We're going to have a Q&A. We're going to have lots of time to sit and chat. So God bless y'all. I know a lot of you have already signed up, but don't wait, folks, because this thing is filling up fast.
And I know you will sit and chat with people because I recently saw you sick as a dog, I would say.
Yes.
And yet sitting and chatting with people late into the evening on our cruise. So, But you won't be sick as a dog this time, though.
No, I won't.
I hope
God
I'm prophesying there.
Yeah. Yes.
Angela, Santa Clara, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. It is open forum. What's your question for Tim Staples?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Quick question.
Yes.
Gregorian chant masses, mm-hmm. I've heard that they were only for the dead, which I understood. But somebody said you could offer them for the living. So I go online and I get both of them. And then some say they're only for the dead. Some people, like the Marian of the Immaculate Conception, it says living or deceased. So which is it?
Right. Well, it's a great question. Thank you, Angela. But masses, generally speaking, are offered for the living and the dead. It is only if a mass is specifically intended to be offered for the dead. That's what it would be offered for. But there is no, you know, rule that says Gregorian chant masses can only be offered for the dead. That is incorrect. They can be offered for the living or for the dead. So it depends upon the intention of the priest who is offering the mass.
Okay.
All right.
It's for another priest, and I'm like, I hope he's deceased, and like, so I wanted to clarify.
Right.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a great afternoon.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thanks very, very much. Carol in Denver, Colorado, listening to EWTN on 1060 AM there. Carol, your question for Tim Staples.
Hi, Tim. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you.
Great. I have two questions that are related to each other.
Okay.
The first, I heard you speaking about a sanctifying grace.
Yes.
And if you were to take a communion without it, you'd go to hell. But the second, I had taken communion from evangelical churches. Is that a mortal sin? And how do you get this sanctifying grace? And I'll hang right up and let you talk.
Sure. Now, Carol, could you clarify again? You've received communion from what church?
Oh, just they're non-denominational.
Oh, gotcha. And are you Catholic?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Carol, thanks so much for your question. First of all, what is sanctifying grace? Sanctifying grace is a term we use to describe what the Scripture talks about as the grace of God in our souls that represents our relationship with Him. See, when we are in a state of sin, we're born, we have original sin in our souls, we grow up, we become, you know, we commit mortal sin, we're cut off from God. Well, we need to be restored to right relationship with God because we're separated from Him through sin. Well, through baptism, God takes away our sins, incorporates us into Christ, and gives us sanctifying grace, which is that union with God. So it's actually, in our Catholic theology, it's a created grace. St. Paul uses language like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, right? We talk about the grace of God. Think of this in Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice it's the grace of God wherein we stand. So this new creation, this created grace, is that relationship or that which represents that union between us and God, because there's an infinite gulf, right, between God and us. Sanctifying grace is this great gift that joins us to God and communicates to us what's so beautiful about it. It communicates the very divine life of God to us. Remember, Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that the Greek word there is zoe, right? There are different words for life in Greek. You have bios, which is just natural, where we get the word biology. Zoe is a particular kind of life. It's the divine life that comes into our souls by this great gift of sanctifying grace, whereby we are empowered to be able to have a relationship with Jesus and to perform supernatural works, right? I love the way Jesus tells us in John 15:5, right? Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5, nothing. But what about in Him, what can we do, right? John 14:12, Jesus says, you will do greater things than even I did. St. Paul similarly will talk about in Ephesians chapter 2, for example, how we are, you know, verses 1 through 3. I mean, he paints a pretty bleak picture of our state before God, before the grace of God. He says, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins and were by nature children of wrath, right? That's apart from Christ. But once we enter into Christ, for by grace you have been saved, he says, then it becomes Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, right? So that's what sanctifying grace is. It is that great gift whereby we are joined to Almighty God. Now, to answer the second part of your question, you know, why do I have to be in a state of sanctifying grace to go to communion? Well, because communion, think about it this way. Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 10:15. He says, the cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not a participation? It's koinonias in Greek, which means a participation or a partaking in the body of the Lord. Well, see, before you can partake in the body and blood of the Lord, you have to be in the Lord. Because if you're not, you can't have that communion. Because communion represents a union you already have with Jesus Christ, and it's being strengthened through the Eucharist. So you need to get into Christ first, and that comes through the great gift of baptism, because, you know, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 says we're buried together with him through baptism. It's baptism, faith and baptism, that is the doorway into Jesus Christ, and then that opens up, you know, all the other sacraments in accordance with our calling in life, so that we can receive, for example, the Eucharist. Now, Carol, you don't want to go to communion if you're not actually in union with Christ, because you would be lying with your body. That's called a sin of sacrilege. You're saying when you go to receive the Eucharist, I am in union with Jesus and I want to go deeper, right? And you know, communion actually affects the forgiveness of venial sins and purifies us from punishment due for sins if we're in that state of grace. But if we're not, we're lying, like I said. And because we're lying about something so holy, that's called a sacrilege. So I'm saying I'm in union with Jesus, but I'm not. So when I receive the Eucharist, that itself is a mortal sin. So when I said if you receive the Eucharist and you're not in a state of grace, you'll go to hell, well, if I said it that way, I shouldn't have, because it, actually what you do is you commit a mortal sin, or the sin of sacrilege. You only go to hell if you persist in that sin or any mortal sin until you die. So you need to go to confession to be restored. And now, Carol, you don't want to go receive communion from any other community, ordinarily speaking. I mean, there are examples where we can when it's Orthodox. Orthodox community, for example, the Code of Canon Law, paragraph 844, says if we don't have access to a Catholic community, then we could, as long as they're okay with it, we could receive communion there. But you don't want, certainly not to receive communion from, as you said, a non-denominational church, for the analogous reason that I just said you don't receive in a state of sin if you're Catholic. Because you're saying, if you receive communion in a non-denominational church, you're saying, I'm in union with this body. See, that's another aspect of communion, isn't it, Cy? We're not only saying I'm in union with Jesus, but we're saying I'm in union with the whole Jesus, head and body, which is the church. So if I'm not really in union with the church, then I shouldn't be receiving communion. In the same way, if I went to a Baptist community, for example, and I received communion, well, I would be lying. Right, I'd be saying I am in union with these folks. And well, then what am I saying about my relationship with Jesus in the true church? You can't, you know, you can't serve two masters. It's all or nothing when it comes to Jesus. So I hope, Carol, that will help to clarify things for you. You don't receive communion over there because you're not actually in full communion with them.
Carol, thank you very much for that call. Thanks for everybody who has called. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We're not going anywhere. Tim Staples is going to be here with us for another hour of Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. We welcome your calls, your questions on any aspect of our faith and life as Catholics. We really encourage, if you're not Catholic, go ahead and call. You don't have to be Catholic to call. We'll take a question from any quarter. And if it's a challenge that you want to make, we're happy to try to meet that challenge. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. I'm Cy Kelly, your host. Again, our guest is Tim Staples this hour. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.